All right. I would like to make a statement. And when we really think about this statement, it can really change our life. The greatest limitation that you have in your life, the greatest limitation that will cause you to hinder the desire that you have in your heart, to limit the desire or the dream that you have in your heart, the greatest limitation is you. Does anybody agree?
Yes.
We don't think about it. We like to blame other situations or circumstances that limit us. But if we really think about it, as believers, as having the living Christ in us, if we are not walking out our dream, if we are not passionately walking out the call of God on our life, the only reason, the only limitation is us. And that's good news. Now, some people don't want to hear that. You know, there are a lot of people that like to blame where they are in life on where they came from, their past, people in their present relationships. They like to blame it on other people. But if other people are limiting us and we don't have any control over them, then change can't happen. But if it's us, and if we have 100% control over us, we can bring about change. And that's really what God did in Jesus at the cross. He, out of our old creation, made us brand new. We as believers, if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have got the very life of God in us.
Amen.
Our spirit, in Ezekiel 36:26, says God gave us a new spirit and a new heart.
That's right.
The very life of God came in us. The Holy Spirit took residence in our spirit. And our spirit was made perfect. If we believe, Romans 10:9-10 says, if we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and we confess Him as Lord, we will be saved.
Amen.
We will experience the abundant life that Jesus died to give us. So why aren't we experiencing the abundant life that Jesus died to give us? The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:3-4, that His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything.
Everything.
Through the knowledge of Him who called us and through His promises. Why are we not experiencing the abundant life that Jesus died to give us? I will tell you why. And I hope that you have thought about it and wondered. But I believe the biggest failure of the church has been to not train new believers in who they are in Christ. They have not trained and discipled new believers how to renew their mind.
Yes.
Renewing your mind is the key that will usher us into who we already are.
That's right.
Amen. You know, I accepted the Lord Jesus 20-some years ago, but I was an adult when I heard the truth. And I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I knew that I experienced something different. Something happened inside of me. It was wonderful. You know, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that no matter what, things would work out because I had something new in me. But when I asked my pastor, what really happened? I mean, how did I just get in Christ? And, you know, how can I become more like Him? And he really didn't know. The only thing he could tell me is that you've got to do what it takes to become like Christ. So for 8 years, I tried to become like Christ. And I realized I was more frustrated then than I was before I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Can anyone relate to that?
Yeah, sorry, but your necklace is bouncing against the...
Because...
Sorry about that.
He loves you.
Okay, now I'm going to go take a nap. Because before I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I tried to live that good life. That's what I wanted to do. Whatever you were supposed to do to live this good life, I did it. So now I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Now I'm reading the Bible, and now I felt like, oh my gosh, now I have to live this good life. Because I thought God would not be pleased with me. I was more miserable after I accepted Jesus. And so many people in the church today are more miserable than the world. And I just have such a passion to help people in the church, to help people that are believers, to help people that have the life of God in them to walk in that life that Jesus died to give us. And when I found out, and it was 8 or 9 years after I accepted the Lord, when I found out that everything that I was trying to become, I already was.
Amen.
I was set free. I was set free to not trying to become, but just being.
Amen.
Just being. See, you leave the realm of becoming to the realm of I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge, huge difference. Because, number one, you acknowledge what God did in you. You acknowledge what God gave you. You acknowledge that you have the life of God. See, that's why Pastor Tom and Pastor Walker and Alan, that's why we can say we are who God says we are. Because in our spirit, we are made perfect. We are righteous. We are holy. We are blameless. And when we see that we already are, and we already are who God says we are, that life is going to flow out of us. But our big, big problem, it's not someone else, it's not the world, it's right here. It's what we think. See, when we become a new believer in Christ and our spirit is made perfect, we still think the same way that we've always thought, unless we are intentional. And so what I want to share with you today and tomorrow, today I just want to somehow share with you the importance that thoughts play in our life. How thoughts can influence our lives. What influences our thoughts? Our thoughts, and what we think, is everything. And once we change the way we think, it will affect our emotions, it will affect our decisions, and it will affect what we walk in. So, you know, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, well, actually in your notes, number one, and this is a statement that if you will grasp it again, you can see what you experience out here or why you experience what you experience out here. But number one, it says, we will always produce a quality of life consistent with what we think and believe about ourselves. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Again, Tom was sharing earlier that Everyone believes something. Everyone believes something. So from, if you were an adult before you accepted Jesus, you believed something about yourself from the time you were small until you were adult. There were experiences, there were words that were said to you, there were a lot of feelings and emotions that affected what you believed about yourself. Can you understand that? You know, if we grew up poor, if we grew up never having anything, we will have a mindset, I am poor. You know, I don't have anything. If we grew up in a home where our parents said, you're stupid, you're never going to amount to anything. Anything you put your hand to, you're going to fail. As Tom was sharing, that person, we will grow up to believe that we are a failure, and that is what our life will produce.
Yes.
So again, whatever we believe about ourselves will produce what we experience out here.
Yes.
And again, this is good because we can change that.
Amen.
And we can change it with the truth about us. Not what we think we believe about ourselves. Not our distorted perception of ourselves based on where we came from, what people said, what we say, what we've experienced. See, that is a distorted perception of ourselves. And if we believe that about ourselves, when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and our spirit is made perfect and we have the life of God in us, if we don't change the way we think, we will continue thinking the same way. We will continue thinking like the old creation.
That's right.
We will continue thinking like the old man. The old man was crucified with Christ 2,000 years ago.
Thank you, Lord.
2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. We're dragging this old man around with us. We are still seeing ourselves the way we've always seen ourselves. And that is why so many people... We've known so many friends who have accepted the Lord. Their lives never changed. They weren't taught to think differently about themselves. And they have gotten so frustrated because they didn't see any change in their life. They left the church and went back to the world.
Yeah.
Does anybody know anyone like that?
Yeah.
Or you've seen someone, gosh, you know, Jerry accepted Jesus, and you know that's so exciting. And then maybe a month later, you're saying, "Gosh, he doesn't act like a Christian. He's still cussing. He's still drinking. He's still, you know, doing whatever." But the reason is he hasn't changed the way he thought.
That's right.
Even though he has the life of God in him, if we had not been told, or if we had not shared the process that the Bible clearly sets out about renewing your mind, we will continue as that old man and never experience that new life. See, God gave us a free will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He did everything that He could do to make it possible for us to enjoy life. He did everything to demonstrate His love in Jesus at the cross. But He can't make us that new creation. We had that choice of walking in that, of getting that truth of who we are established in our heart by changing the way we think, by speaking, by changing what we speak about ourselves. And again, it will change our behavior out here. You know, the church wants to tell people, you need to quit that. You know, you're a Christian now. You don't need to be cussing, or you don't need to smoke. You don't, you know, don't. And again, that's the way life was before you accepted Jesus. But what the church needs to do is tell everything right about that person.
Yes.
Tell them, this is who you are. And the reason you're not experiencing it is because you're not thinking like that new creation.
Right. Amen.
And that is such a more positive journey rather than I've got to quit this, I've got to not say this, or I've got to, you know, get rid of this habit. No. Focus on who you are and what you have and what you can do in Christ, and change happens effortlessly.
Yes, it does.
Again, that is what renewing the mind is all about. Tom shared these two scriptures. Number two, if what we think or believe about ourselves is inconsistent with truth or God's Word, then our decision in life will lead us down the pathway of destruction. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to, but the end of that way is death. And number three, if, however, we choose to think or believe in a way that is consistent with truth or God's Word, then we are guaranteed that we will experience true and abundant life. Proverbs 12:28, in the way of righteousness, thinking, believing, and acting in a way that is consistent with truth. And in its path is life, and there is no death. That is what we want to experience, and especially if we have the life of God in us. And then, and four, what influences our thoughts? And I shared a little bit about that. Our past history, how we were raised, what kind of home we were raised in. B, present experiences, what you're experiencing now. If you let your job or your ministry define or cause you to believe that's who you are, that's your value, that's your worth, that is a distorted perception. That is not who you are in Christ. See, it's who God made you to be through Christ. And whether you, you know, are in ministry or in a secular job or anything, your value and your worth isn't tied up in that. It's who you are in Christ. You know, what people say. We let what words people say cause us to believe a certain way about ourselves. And all of that's been covered in the sessions. And one of the most harmful things is what we say about ourselves.
Yeah.
And we say it innocent. You know, is anybody like me, you know, if I just do, you know, one little thing, or maybe I drop something, you know, and I go, gosh, I'm so stupid. You know, or gosh, everything always happens to me. Everything doesn't always happen to me. You know, I mean, I tend to exaggerate a lot. Don't answer that. I have to tell this one thing about the manicure. I mean, I'm very, I like to express myself a lot. But one day, this has nothing to do with renewing your mind, but one day I had never had a pedicure. You know what a pedicure is. You know, you sit there and they massage your legs and your feet and, you know, you just get pampered and everything. Well, the first time that I ever had one, you know, I sat there and I went, oh my gosh, I just feel so rich, you know, and so special. And so, you know, they got through. And I went home and I said, honey, my goodness, I just, you know, just got a pedicure. That was the most wonderful experience that I've ever had. I knew the minute that I said that, I knew that wasn't the most wonderful experience that I ever had. So anytime Tom wants to make me happy, he sends me off to get a pedicure. Okay, so. But anyway, you know, gosh, now I forgot what I was going to say. what was I going to say? Oh, what we say. Yes. You know, even, it just, you know, I'm stupid or I can't do anything. And, you know, if you say it every now and then, okay, but if you constantly say it, what you're doing is you're persuading yourself to believe a certain way about yourself that is not the truth.
That's right.
Amen.
You know, I think about Jesus. He only spoke what the Father said. How many of us only speak what God says about us?
Well, come on now.
I don't. I mean, and I really am going to get into my notes, but, you know, being over here a year and a half has caused every insecurity in me to just rise up. And this is what I wanted to experience. You know, I wanted to experience to step out of my comfort zone and do something I'd never done before. Because I knew that I had to depend on God. And I thought it really would be exciting. And it's been. But I really thought that I had renewed my mind and got my heart established in the truth. And that, you know, I just go, oh, you know, I can do anything because I've got God's ability. Well, I started speaking, oh my gosh, I'm not qualified, I'm overwhelmed, I can't do this, because I started thinking about who I used to be. That I grew up in a little small town in West Virginia in the States, and, you know, I never finished college, and I you know, every single thing that Satan could use to tell me not to do what God's called us to do. You know, that's the only tool that Satan has, is to get you to believe that you are not who God says you are. That's it.
Yeah.
He's been defeated. See, the only tool God has is deception.
No, Satan.
I mean, oh. The only tool, scratch that, Matt. The only tool that Satan has is deception.
That's right.
To deceive you into thinking that you're not who God says you are.
That's right.
And he doesn't have to do a whole lot. You know, he can just, you know, remember what you did a couple years ago. Why would God use you?
Yeah.
You know, I'm easy. But the more that you depend on God, the more that you start seeing yourself the way God sees you, the more healing and wholeness and the life of God comes alive in you. And those dreams and those passions become a possibility.
Yes.
You know, like, I can do that.
Yes.
I can do all things through Christ. You know, the Word of God, this is really real.
Yes.
And, I mean, does anybody else feel that way except me? And I want, again, the first time that I realized I already was who God says I was, that I don't have to become, I just have to be. I just have to persuade my heart that I am who God says I am. Then everything became practical. You know, the Word of God, Christianity, everything made sense. This makes sense. It's not some kind of spiritual, you know, realm. There is a spiritual realm, but it's, it makes it more practical, and we can apply it and enjoy this life here.
Yeah.
You know, not wait until, you know, we go to be with Jesus. I want to enjoy life here.
Amen.
And I want my life to reflect this wonderful life so other people will want what I have.
Yeah. Right.
The people don't want what the church has. They don't see a whole lot of difference. They see a lot of fussing and squabbling and no power, because the people are not being equipped, not being trained in who they are in Christ. So, I just want to give an example of how your thoughts can affect you in such a negative way. Your next note says, thoughts, not circumstances, affect our feelings, which is our emotions, which in turn affect the decisions that we make in life. What you think controls what you say. What you say controls what you believe. And what you believe controls what you experience.
That's right.
Now, really think about it. Wrap your mind around it. If thoughts, not circumstances, affect how you feel about something. Then when something happens out here that we may not have any control over, if we change the way we think about whatever happened out here, we won't experience that negative emotion. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, one incident can happen out here and four or five people can respond differently because it's the way they're thinking about it. It's not the circumstance. You know, again, if I go to the doctor and he says, you know, you've got 3 months to live. Okay, I can choose to think and meditate on what's true. Or if I renewed my mind and start changing the way I think, like that new creation, and says that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, and I will think that way, that will cause positive emotions. See, you have a choice. You have a choice. So everything is up here. So again, it's thoughts, not circumstances, that cause the negative emotions. And the greatest example of that is in Numbers 13, where the Israelites were just getting ready to enter the promised land. I mean, I don't know how many times God says, I have given.
Yes.
I have given you the promised land.
Yep.
Just go in and possess it. And, you know, they trudged and marched and whined and, you know, did whatever they did. And they were right there. They're at the promised land. And they send 12 spies in. And 10 of them came back and said, oh my gosh, you know, they got these huge grapes and fruit and it is a land of milk and honey. But, there's always that but they've got huge people and giants and, you know, we'll never, you know, we'll be defeated. I mean, they were like that. We thought we looked like grasshoppers compared to them.
Yeah.
But now, Caleb and Joshua, the other two spies, came back, saw the very same thing.
That's right.
They saw the fruit, they saw the milk, they saw the honey, they saw the giants. But they chose to think on and remember what God says. I have given you this land.
That's right.
Possess it. Go in there. You know, if He's given something, it's up to us to possess it.
Yes.
And God had given it to them. So I had just written down a few notes. It says the 10 spies looked at the giants. And this isn't in your notes, I don't think. The 10 spies looked at the giants and thought how large they are. They looked at themselves and thought how small they were. They saw the same thing. All the spies saw the same thing. But the 10 focused on the problem and produced a negative outlook. They thought it was impossible to take over the land, even though God had already said He would give it to them. But so it was the thoughts and imaginations of the 10 spies which caused fear. You know, again, all 12 spies saw the same thing. But it's what the 10 spies thought about the circumstance that caused fear in them and made them feel small and insignificant and powerless and frustrated, which caused them to make a wrong decision. Can you see that? They saw the same thing. They thought something, caused fear. And out of that fear, out of those negative emotions, they made a wrong decision. So the two spies, Caleb and Joshua, saw the same land, the same giants, but they did not think of themselves as grasshoppers. They focused on God's promise, not the problem, which produced a positive outlook. They tried to remind the people that God had promised them the land. They were able to take possession of it, of the land, even though there were giants living there. In Numbers 12:30, it says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." We are well able to overcome it. What giants are in your life? See, there should be no giants. We are well able to overcome anything if we start thinking the way that God has declared us to be. Amen. See, we are well able to overcome anything in life. The Bible says we are more than conquerors. Amen. See, Jesus overcame. We are in the overcomer. We are more than overcomers. We are more than conquerors. But we've got to think that way. Can you see how important what we think affects what we experience, even though we may have the life of God in us? And, you know, that is the key that ushers us into that life we all want to experience. You know, the situation around you, where you live and everything, that may tell you everything in contrast to what God says you are. You know, you are prosperous, you are healed, you are holy, you are an overcomer. But if you continue looking at the circumstances and not at the promise, if you continue thinking that way, you will never walk out and overcome your circumstances, even though you are an overcomer and that you're more than conqueror. That, to me, is the saddest thing, for us to walk through life and never experience the life that is in us. See, we want to experience transformation. We want to experience change so that that life that is in us will just flow out effortlessly.
Yes.
And the Bible tells us how to do that. And we will go more into the process tomorrow. But in Romans 12:2, well, first look at, if you've read all 11 chapters of Romans, and it tells you all the wonderful things that you are in Christ, and, you know, what God has done for you. Just some of the things. In Romans 3:21, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all." Verse 24, "being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." 3:28 says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 6:18, "And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness." Now that is something I want to be a slave of, is righteousness.
Yes.
See, Jesus, who knew no sin, became our sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. We had nothing to do with it. You know, a slave has nothing to do with being enslaved. I mean, they're made a slave. And Jesus made us slaves of righteousness.
Yes, He did.
We are righteous because of what Jesus did.
Amen.
And that's why the statement that Tom said, you know, God's love for us isn't based on what we do or don't do. It's based on what Jesus did. And it's based on who God is. He's love. We are slaves of righteousness. And just on and on and on. But then Romans 12:2 says, you know, "Therefore, you know, since God did this for you in Jesus, since you have this, since you've been set free, since there's no condemnation in Christ, now, don't be conformed to the world any longer."
Amen.
Don't think like the world thinks any longer. Don't be enslaved to the world system any longer. Because that world system is going to pass away. It's temporary. It really leads to death. It's some form of death. Don't be conformed to the world any longer, but be transformed. And how? By the renewing of your mind. And since Tom got to teach first, he got to tell you the butterfly story before I did. But that is the same word, metamorphosis. Again, I was already who I was trying to become.
Yes.
I had the life of God in me. I was already righteous. I was already victorious. I was already healed. But I didn't know it. No one told me to climb up a twig and spin a cocoon and I was going to bust out being this new creation. I was still doing the same thing I'd been doing for almost 30 years, trying to become someone I already was. So we are like that caterpillar. We have everything in us to be transformed. We need to spin the cocoon of the Word of God and we will be transformed into that new creation.
Yes.
And everything that you want to experience in life is really results from renewing your mind after you've accepted the life of God in you. And it sounds so simple, but it is hard because everything around us, everyone around us, usually influences or persuades us of the opposite. You know, everything tells us many times that we are poor. We don't have any money. But what are we going to believe? What's true or the truth,
amen,
as Tom shared? You know, we are overcomers. We are well able to overcome the giants in our life. You know, I'm tired of living like the world when I am a new creation.
Yes.
I want the world to see that God loves me, and this is what He did at the cross, and this is what I get to experience when I just start speaking what God says about me. When I start changing the way I think, when I start getting my heart established in the truth, and we will experience,
amen,
life out here.
Yes.
So, let's see. So in your notes, what should influence our thoughts is what God says. God's Word defines who we are. And this is something that Tom had you to speak this morning. And this is something, if you wake up every morning and just say this, it will just set you on that path of seeing life in a different way. I am who God says I am. I have everything that God says I have, and I can do everything that God says I can do. I've said that a lot right before this conference. About 4 or 5 months, I have persuaded my heart that, you know, I can do everything in Christ, and I have everything to do what we are called to do. And you begin to experience it. And the great thing is, you know it's God, because you know what your ability can do.
Yeah.
I know what my ability can do, and it's not all that much. But when I start experiencing God, His grace, there's nothing greater. Really, it's greater than a pedicure.
Hallelujah.
But, you know, that's what we want to experience in life, and that's what God wants to experience. To me, God's grace, which is God's ability in us to do what we cannot do in our own ability, that's what God's grace is. And when we experience that, to me, that is just God loving on me.
Yes.
It's like, okay, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. Because God is taking over now. And most of the time, we wait till the very last minute till we're all stressed out. And then we go, oh, I can't do this, God, you take over. You know, and He's probably saying, Well, I was trying to take over at the beginning and make it easy for you. But no, we want to do it ourselves. But you know, just let go and let God. Because again, He is in us and He wants to work through us. I'll never forget one of the times last year when I was very depressed or, you know, just down thinking, we can't do all this. We're going to try to start a Bible school. And of course, I think I was missing my family and friends and our little grandkids. And I won't go there. And I was walking, you know, and I go, God, I just, you know, I want to make a difference in this world. I love South Africa. I love the people. I love sharing truth. I just don't know if you've got the right person, you know. And I said, I'm willing. And I heard Him say, and I'm able. And I've remembered that ever since. That's all He wants us to do, is to be willing. Because He is able.
Yes.
I mean, He proved it 2,000 years ago. He's able to give us everything inside, and we just sort of keep it inside and don't walk in that reality. The last part of your notes. Well, believing who God says you are and believing who God is and what He did affects who we are. See, if we don't believe that God really truly loves us unconditionally, we're not going to trust Him. And if we don't trust Him, we're not going to believe Him. And we're not going to go to His Word and look at it as a book of love, you know, as a blueprint for success, as a mirror that we can look in and see who we are. If we don't really believe that God loves us unconditionally, we're going to go to the Word of God, and we're going to open it up, and we're going to, I haven't done this. I've said this, I've messed up, all you're going to do is see your faults. But if you know who God is, and you know that He demonstrated that love at the cross, then you're going to see, gosh, you know, God does love me. He wants me to succeed. He knows who I am.
Yes.
See, we are created in His image.
Yes.
We have the same power, the same creative power that God created the world in existence.
That's right.
And this is something I love to share. Everything that God created out here was already in Him.
Yes.
You know, He only spoke it into existence. Isn't that good?
Yes.
And we are created in His image. We have the creative ability of God. Everything that we want to experience out here, we have in us.
Yes.
We only have to speak it into existence. See, call those things that are not as if they are. See, that is reality. The spiritual realm is reality. The way God says, and that's the way He says it. You are well able to overcome anything. I give you life. I give you healing. I give you joy. I give you peace. Just take it. Take it and make it yours. Speak it so that it can be experienced out here and other people can experience it. Be a blessing. Know that you're blessed. Be a blessing and bless others. So, our thoughts have a lot to do, and what we believe has a lot to do with what we experience out here. Would you agree with me on that? So, therefore, tomorrow we will go into how to renew your mind. And it's really a journey that we will take for the rest of our lives. But what a journey.
Yes.
When you start speaking and thinking the same way that God speaks and thinks, who knows what you will be doing next year. Never, ever, ever did I think I would be in South Africa sharing the truth and really walking out my passion. I think ever since I was a little child, I just wanted to make the world better. I just wanted to make people happy. I just wanted things to be all right. I don't know if you were like me. When I was little, I loved fairy tales. You know, the prince and the princess, and she's in the tower, and the prince comes on the, you know, white horse and the armor, and he rescues her, and they just go into the sunset, and they live happily ever after. Oh, I mean, I loved that when I was little. And do you know that when I really discovered the truth, when I got a revelation of what God did in Jesus, I went, you know what? That's the way life is. We can be whisked up on that white horse. You know, I feel like God just, you know, took us and put us in Christ. And that means that we can live happily ever after. No matter what. You know, and I used to share that with people. Like, oh, Penny, you know, you think everything is going to work out and, you know, everything is good and sweet. Yes, it is. And that's the way we have to start thinking. So, again, it's up to us. We're the ones that limit us of walking in the promised land that God's already given us.
Yes.
And He's given it to us, and it's in us. So if we will take the principle of renewing your mind and persuade our heart, the life of God, the abundant life that Jesus died to give us, will be a reality out here.
Yes, it will.
So tomorrow I will share on how to renew your mind. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Well, look.
You want to say something about dinner?
Yeah, dinner will be at 5:30. I know. Can everyone?